Originally, they delivered to the Gentiles because they mocked and scourged and spit upon them, and after they had scourged him, they will put him to death. Which my brethren Christ take into each day's gospel. The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Sports build character. And what a character is what? Deep Rose, Kobe Bryant, St. John's basketball team, University of Colorado football team. And of course, this money, vulgar, Super Bowl. Today might be a good day to talk a little bit about sports. Our blessed Lord in the Gospel today talks about his agonia, about the suffering that he is going to undergo. And in the early church, the concept of agonia, the combat or struggle, for Christians was seen as something that we should apply only to the agonia, to the combat, to the struggle that our blessed Lord underwent. The other types of agonia, contests that the pagans engaged in, that is how they referred to many cases being sports, such as you would find in the Colosseum, were considered inappropriate for Christians as reflecting sort of strife against charity. Paul speaks about in today's epistle. Also, 2 weeks ago, St. Paul spoke about pagan athletes. You know, if you remember, that was on Second Vision of Sunday, how they had a single-minded dedication and they made sacrifices, striving for the mastery and striving to win. He says, but they're pursuing a corruptible ground. Christians, St. Paul said, have to show the same single-mindedness, but for pursuing an incorruptible crown. Sports is a dominant force in popular culture. It's now almost like a religion. Pete Rose, in fact, said in an interview a few weeks ago, baseball is the game that I worship. There's this adulation for teams and for players. We treat them almost like gods. In high school, you get the best sports heroes are popular, they're recognized in the high school. They get them in college, a special treatment. Special dispensation even from learning, which is supposed to be the purpose of college, the purpose of the university. You see the excitement here, especially being so close to the OSU campus, the excitement that surrounds the sacred football game. And pros get enormous salary, they get media attention, and their empty-handed words are treated seriously, like a special revelation. How often have you watched the sports news on the television and seen one of these empty-headed men being interviewed, and he will be asked a question, something like this, well, what are you going to do today? And the man will look back at the camera and he'll say, well, we're going to go into that stadium. The adherents of the sports religion have the daily devotions,
works patience, the great money too, the great time that they sacrifice to attend the rites of the religion, and even fund their children in this religion. Families will sometimes make a point of trying to send their child to a high school where they take him to play basketball or football. I have a duty as a priest. My duty is to get you to look at the world through the eyes of faith, through the lens of faith. And there's a danger of adopting the false and the non-Christian attitudes of our society on many points. And one of these, what is very saying, is precisely the issue of sports. Which is a Catholic. Which is a person of faith, thinking about sports. Now, by sports, I don't mean recreational games that kids play, or that you play, things that you do for health, or for fun, or for relaxation. But these things can be legitimate, or illegitimate, and in moderation, and they're very good. But what I really have a difficulty with, and which you should have a difficulty with, is the modern organized team sports that pervade American culture. The pro football, the pro basketball, baseball, hockey. Or the top of the college or high school team sports that are structured in the same regimented way as professional sports. Which may as well the Olympics. Much hyped in a few years. If you look at history, you see what the Christian attitude was in Rome. The society, at a certain point, became dominated by bread and circuses. And the contests that were held, the Colosseum, these were great public events, and featured cruelty and much contention and fighting. And so the fathers of the church condemned these types of contentious sports, the Pavilion. And in the Christian era, there was very little of this, precisely because of the unruly emotions that the contentious team sports stirred up in people. In the modern era, the great revolutionary era of the great revolutionary year was 1848, when there was a rising of communists, socialists, and leftists all over Europe. And socialists and leftist organizations promoted the idea of contentious team sports, organized sports. This is when we start to see them in the modern era, because these events stir strong emotions. They give you a feeling of solidarity. You participate in with your teammates and with fellow supporters of the team. And you become conditioned to react and to follow the crowd
rather than to think
and consider things on your own. So you become very easy to manipulate, and that, of course, is very good for these modern mass political movements. In the late 19th century, we see the revival of the pagan Olympics, the notion of one worldism, that men put aside everything because of what? Because of the true religion and the worship of God, no, because of sports, competition. In the 20th century America, sports, bit by bit, became no longer just relaxation. Teams became professional. They came to dominate colleges and high schools. And in many cases, wound up as a substitute for work. They eventually came to be driven by the media, by advertising, and sports, contentious organized team sports, became a big box, big business. And turned into what we see today. So the substitute religions something that boy really feels strong about, right? You really need that strong.
So that the bread and services. And we see the bad effects it does in both the player and the fans. In the player, pride and skill is something that's utterly vain. Kicking a ball around and throwing it around. Well, vainglory is a vice whereby you seek the acclaim of others for something foolish reason, contention. For contention, for the coaches seek to promote a spirit of conflict with an enemy who's really false. Anger at the teammates, the coaches, at the opponents, at the officials. The greed, the unimaginable wealth of those who are considered to be the best. But the actual infliction of physical harm on other people, the violence of that hopeful. I know of a kid in another mission who good, well-traditional Catholic boy, and he ended up in a public high school in Milwaukee, big, strong, good, lifted weights and everything. Played high school football, his knees are ruined for what? For what? For getting. And it was false hopes that it raises in kids. I was just reading an article about this, that a criticism by a black writer, extensive article about how basketball, the ghetto kid, built all these false hopes. You know, they spent all the time practicing, you know, of getting up early in the morning, practicing the free throws and all this other nonsense. So they had the shot of getting into the pros. Think of that, the false hopes. I think of that when I arrived by Princeton High School. There were all these poor black kids out on the field, all of all ages, but all in different football uniforms, going at each other. And finally, we better spend studying. So that's the problem with the player, the fans who get anger over the losses and the bad plays. Or this acquiescence in evil, the impurity, the filth, and the advertising. Or the support of the immoral living, the disgraceful kind of lives of these athletes. It's paid for with your money. Or the man's sloth, passivity. You would far better spend your time, your free time, throwing around the ball with your kids and talking with them or getting some exercise. But a crowd mentality, you allow yourself to be manipulated into feeling that, gee, what's going on in the field is something that's really important. What's that example that you convey to the false values all this represents to your kids? A few practical points. First of all, you have to look at these things objectively. You have to admit, I think, that there is a power, as there is with so many aspects of our culture, but since we swim in it, we don't always notice that much about what's going on. But as soon as I do, you get to think a little bit about things like this. Now, as far as your participation, watching or following a sport, some sort of team sports, is not evil in itself. Certainly not evil in itself. And when I was growing up, sports were a lot more innocent than professional sports. Bishop Sanborn and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. And, believe it or not, Bishop Sanborn and I, when we were kids, actually collected baseball cards. Hard to imagine, isn't it? But that was a more innocent time. And unfortunately, the media has a way of turning everything good into garbage, and it's dragging it down. Now, as I say, team sports are not
evil in and of themselves is contentious force, but they can become an unnecessary occasion.
Yeah, because of the dirtiness of all the advertising that goes along with it. And because of the distraction and the wrong values that they impart, especially to the media. When it comes to your kids, don't ever leave your kids with the impression that participation in the type of team sports that kids participate in is something that is really something of high value.
Okay?
You can learn certain things from playing a team sport, certain things that are good. But be aware of the dangers of the mentality of the mentality of modern professional college teams is this cut the value to the level of kids, where there's such a high value placed in all this stuff.
Yeah, it says it's only a game.
All things like their strengths, it's only a game.
Also for yourself, consider how you use your time.
Consider the time you spend following or watching sports.
Be far better advised rather than passively watching some sort of team sport on television to get up and to get some exercise, which is supposed to be the purpose of the sports, to go for a walk, or to play some sport yourself with your kids and teach off your kids. And that's rather than just passively watching something that's controlled for you by the media. St. Paul, in one of the earlier epistles from a few weeks ago, said, as we quoted, that you have to strive for the mastery so as to obtain. In other words, you play the game in order to win. Vince Lombardi was a great Green Bay Packers football coach when I was growing up. Lombardi went to mass every day. He was actually a very devout man. He tolerated no nonsense or misbehavior among his players, and was an excellent practicing Catholic. One thing he said has become part of modern sports lore. And somebody said that winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. But you have to pick the right game to win. Modern team sports, you win a corruptible crowd. Christians who play the game as well, the runner of the race of obtaining the prize, as they must obtain it, are incorruptible. And for us Christians, remember, winning heaven is the only thing. God bless you.
Father, and your Son, and the Holy Ghost.